I would never vote for anyone based on gender or race. I'm voting for Barack Obama not because he's black. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's brilliant.
Who is Barack Obama? Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth. If I had to name my greatest strength, I guess it would be my humility. Greatest weakness, it's possible that I'm a little too awesome.
It's not a police officer's job to discipline somebody's children. That's a parent's job. And if the parents don't step up and discipline their children, then they're going to see me and I won't be as charming as I normally am.
Sunday evening, folks. And you know, if it's Sunday, especially late in the evening, it's time for Adam, Where Art Thou? With our very own Kathleen Williams. Hey, Kathleen, girl, what's up?
Hey, Jay, how you doing tonight?
I am doing outstanding, and you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm doing really, really good. It's winter time in New York City, and it is what it is.
Okay.
It's winter time in New York City, but it was a great day out today. It was warm enough to wear a light jacket, so I really have to. I know. It was warm enough to wear a light jacket, and of course, when that happens, it makes you wonder when the 26 inches of snow is going to hit. You know, because it's always
going to come. Oh my God! Well, you know, it's a beautiful day in Texas as always, and you know, I feel sorry sometimes for you when you fall in, but you know.
But maybe you thought I asked you what the weather was.
Well, you know, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Every now and then I like to throw that in there, you know. I mean, you know, just, I don't know, just like doing it every now and then.
Yeah, I know you like to throw it in. I know you like to throw it in. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's a beautiful day in Texas. It was actually a beautiful day here in New York as well, so I'm excited about that. And we're getting ready for International Men's Day next weekend.
All right.
I can't believe it. It's here already.
I know. It seems like we were just talking about this not too long ago, and it's here already. Wow.
It's here already. So, you know, tonight is going to be, you know, that gear up for International Men's Day evening and Swag University, which is the first time we're doing Swag University at two locations around New York City in Southeast Queens. And in Brooklyn, we're having workshops for young people. Yeah, it's exciting. Workshops for young people, specifically for young men, but we'll be talking to young men, young women as well. And we have community leaders and businessmen and folks who are doing very well who just really want to give back to the kids. And they're going to sit down with young people 14 and up and talk with them about how to have their lives on track to be people of swag, sophistication, wisdom, accountability, and greatness. So I'm real excited about that.
Wow. Sounds like it's going to be a well worth effort. So I tell you, I can't wait to hear all about it.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. So I'm going to talk a little bit about it right now and about the program. for Saturday as well, because that's an incredible lineup too. I just I can't even believe the gentlemen that are going to be honored this year. I'm honored to be able to honor them, actually. So I'll talk a little bit about that before we bring on our guest for this evening. And so let me just talk. Do I have time to go right into that now, Jay, or were you?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's yes, sweetie, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, great. So this coming weekend, this coming Saturday, actually, November 19th, as you all have heard me talk about repeatedly throughout the year, but November 19th every year is International Men's Day. And we need some applause on that, Jay. International Men's Day, the other day of the year besides the Father's Day where we actually celebrate and we honor men.
All right.
It's just a great thing. It's just a really great thing. So as you all, for those of you who don't know, myself and Reverend Philip Craig, we are the regional co-coordinators for International Men's Day for the state of New York, which means we were officially appointed to the role. So in that role, we are charged with letting people all over the state really become more aware of International Men's Day and the fact that there is another day where we honor and celebrate men in the year. So in the role, last year was our first time in the position, and we put on an awards program called Great Men of Excellence Awards for great men in the community of New York. And we honored almost 60 men in the community of New York and New Jersey. And it was a black tie evening with entertainment. It was like the Academy Awards. And actually, these gentlemen, when they are honored, they become members of the Academy of Kings. So it's exciting. So we have about 60 members of the Academy of Kings. And last year, our Man of the Year was Reverend Alfonso Wyatt, who does some incredible work around the state of New York with philanthropic programs, fundraising, and he does work with men, with families. He counsels, he mentors, he's a reverend, he's just an incredible man. So last year was a wonderful event. This year, we are honoring as our Man of the Year, Mr. Rockin' You, David Levy, who has one of the largest Caribbean programs on WBLS, which is one of the largest radio stations here in the East Coast, in New York, and you can find it on online as well. If you go sign on to fevereyes.com, you'll see just how broadly his span reaches throughout the community, the Caribbean community, but also David Levy is one of the DJs that actually discusses every single pertinent thing that happens within the community of the Caribbean throughout the world, and also just worldwide news where people have an opportunity to call in, speak their minds about it, share their own experiences in relation to what's happening in the world. It's one of the few venues where people can really share their own opinions and learn a lot about what really goes on in the news. So David is a great, great, great resource for the New York community and the online community. So he is our Man of the Year this year. In addition, we have several... Yeah, and I'm real excited about that. So maybe you can learn a little bit about him, Jay, online if you have an opportunity to check him out online.
Okay.
Also, yeah, he's really somebody to keep up with. In addition, we have a few gentlemen that are being honored with special awards this year, one of which is George C. Frazier of FrazierNet. He's traveling to New York City to receive the Excellence in Business Award. And in addition, we have Lance Ogiste, who is the counsel to the Brooklyn District Attorney. And his job is just unbelievable as well. So he's receiving an award, Excellence in Public Service. In addition to that, we have the Percy Sutton Award, which is going to the family of Percy Sutton and none other than the former mayor of New York City, the first African-American mayor and the only African-American mayor to date of the city of New York, former Mayor David Dinkins, will be there to receive a legendary Lifetime Achievement Award. So I'm just blown away by the lineup. And that's just some. We also have David Miller of Raising Him Alone. We have Derek Phillips of Real Dads Network. We've got District Leader Anthony Andrews, Councilman Ruben Wills. I could go on and on and on and on, but I won't. But you'll be able to check out the list of honorees at our fabulous website, which is www.internationalmensdaynewyork.com. So you can go there and see what's going on here in New York for International Men's Day. And I'm just real excited about it. So I want all of you to celebrate the men in your life. And tonight we're going to talk about what it means, what does manhood mean to you? And we're just going to have some free time tonight as we just gear up for International Men's Day. And I got a call right before we went on the air from someone who is going to be calling in, a special guest a little bit later on in the program, which is exciting. Our keynote speaker for this year is going to be calling in and joining us for a little bit later. Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad is going to just drop by tonight and talk with us about manhood and what it means to be a man. So good. So that's my spiel for International Men's Day. I'm real excited about it. So if any of you want to call in or talk to us a little bit about men, manhood, the International Men's Day, what does it mean to you? You think it's a good thing? Do you think it's not? You know, whatever your comments or questions are about it, put it in the chat room. Hit us up about that. While we talk to my guest for this evening, Jay, our guest tonight is none other than Mr. Jerome Esprit.
Ha! Oh, man, Jerome. What's going on? Jerome's in the house.
Jerome is in the house tonight. He is here with us. And if you could give the applause, I'd like to welcome Mr. Jerome.
Oh, how's everyone doing?
Hey, Jerome, what's going on?
Great.
You know,
thank you so much for being here tonight on Adam, Where Art Thou? How are you doing?
Well, I'm well. I'm just getting my energy back from being on the serious side from earlier this morning, so I'm feeling good.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
It was about to serious side almost had me getting really serious and showing out. So I just hope that I probably won't do that on your show as much.
It was a really good show this morning, Jay. I was sorry I had to leave you guys. I was trying to say goodbye, but you guys, I think you muted me because I was acting so badly, I think.
Maybe. I think Jay muted me too, so don't worry about that.
I was trying to talk.
You're in good company.
Nobody was listening. I was like, I think they muted my mic. Did you mute me this morning, Jay?
You know, actually, it's something we probably have to work on too, because I know sometimes, you know, we get an echo when your mic's live. So I don't know what we need to do about that. But like even now, I can hear the feedback. So we'll continue to work on that. But that's the only reason why you would be muted, Kathleen. No other reasons besides that.
Okay. Would you like to address me now, Jack? Or is that no?
Now, as far as you,
never mind. I'm joking. He's like, no, you're just on mute. Yours, it wasn't echoing, but you're on mute. Okay.
Good show. Thank you, Cass, for being there. It's a good show. Good show this morning. And as always, we continue the conversation in the evening, so we can't wait for people to join in. Call us, pick up the phone, be a part of the conversation.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what, Jay, every Sunday, it's not until I get on the phone and you tell me about this relentless feedback do I remember that I was supposed to go to Best Buy and get it
home.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you need to make that trip.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was supposed to go to Best Buy. So what I'm going to do is to let my phone charge up a little bit, my cell phone, and I will switch lines over to the cell phone, okay? So just give me a few minutes. It's charging up really right now. So I'll get a headset, and I'll switch this to the headphone so we won't have that feedback. So apologize. Love you guys. Thank you. So I know, you know, there was so much going on in the news this week. I was excited when Jerome said he was available to be on the show tonight and share with us some more interesting current events that are happening. And also, though, I do want to let's do the current events first, and then we can just branch off a little bit into the International Men's Day conversation, or should we start with that? Because I just like this idea of another day to celebrate men, and I would like to know what you all think about it. And I'll tell you why. Something struck me. It struck me today. I was outside church giving out flyers, which was one of the reasons why I had to run this morning. But I was giving out flyers for the event outside after service. And one of the guys that is familiar – oh, by the way, if you all have a chance, hit me up on my Facebook page. The event is in the newspaper. So I put the article up on my Facebook page. So I was excited about that. But anyway, so this guy comes out of church and he says, oh, yeah, that's the flyer for the event. I just saw that in the paper. And I'm like, you did? I did, because I hadn't seen it. So he says, yeah. So he ran inside and he got me a copy of the paper. He came back and gave it to me. And it's a phenomenal article, too, really great article. And so I said, great, thank you. This is wonderful. So he took one of the flyers. And as he was standing there trying to talk to me, I'm giving out flyers to hundreds of people coming out of church, and people want to stand there and talk to me. So I really couldn't talk to him. I'm handing these flyers to asking people to accept it and to thanking them and everything. And he says to me, huh, International Men's Day, huh? You're standing out here by yourself giving out all these flyers. You're working harder than all the men. And I was like, huh? Huh? Okay, I didn't really know how to take that. I didn't take offense to it. I didn't know how to take that. Tell me what the day means to you. Does it mean anything to you that there's an additional day that we honor men? Do you think it's an important thing? Do you think there's a need for the world society to look at manhood in a different way, or just additionally? What do you guys think about that?
Well, go ahead, Jerome. I was trying to give you
a
go ahead, man. You're the guest.
No. I want you to go because I'm thinking about it. I don't actually have a thought yet, so I was deferring to you.
Okay, well, listen, the only thing I would say is that, you know, as a male, I don't think we get our just due sometimes, because there are guys out there who are knuckleheads, and it seems to me that the news and all the events and all the information is all about these clowns. So when you have guys that are doing positive things, when you have guys who are stepping up and being positive role models in their community, it's always good to recognize those individuals. So, you know, listen, there's not enough days in the year to do that. So I'm very excited about International Men's Day, and I really and truly like and love what it represents. So, yeah, I think you're doing an outstanding thing, and kudos to you.
Thank you. And really, thank you, Jay. I appreciate that, and I'm glad to hear that you feel that way, because I think most of the men that I talk to and most of the men that are honored feel the same way, and many of them have been honored before, you know, a lot of the guys that do the work in the community. Some of them have been, but most of them have not. So they do feel special, not just for their personal and individual honor, but just a program that's about them and about men and manhood and just holding it up in a positive light. So they are excited about that usually, but I did want to know, not even so much me, it's, you know, not at all about me, but just hoping that this is not something that I'm looking at as a woman and saying, oh, this is a great thing, and guys are like, yeah, you know, whatever. Because, you know, sometimes it can be like that. So I just wanted to have a clearer picture from you all as to what you think about it and what it means to you.
Well, you know, I always say I never really worry about negative. And for the person who came up to you and said, why are you working, my first reaction would be, why are you commenting on me working opposed to you grabbing some of these flyers like you're a man? So, you know, when somebody, I don't know, that's my first reaction. You should never rethink what you do, Kathleen, just because men, you know, we talked about this morning. There's like a natural disposition for men. And it's really not to get awards. It's like we just do what we do. And if we're, you know, getting an award for it, you know, we're happy about the award, but it's almost kind of like not wanting to be perceived as somebody who wants an award. I don't know if you follow me on that. But, you know, so sometimes we don't get just due because we pull back from even the announcement of having an award. So, and not until we get a little older, but when you know, you just go, no, I just do my work. And we get awards and then thank everybody and, you know, thank mama and stuff and all of that. But generally, I don't think we seek out awards, so it doesn't really come across as enthusiasm, although it is. We, you know, everyone, you know, likes to be appreciated. So I'm sure everyone is going to be very honored to receive an award. And that's why some people get a little jealous and go, well, why are you giving an award to them? Or how come no men are helping out? Like, they say negative things in kind of a backhanded way of saying, I'm devaluing it because I'm not getting an award. So you got to remember, guys are competitive.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That's not a negative. I just wanted to bring the tone back up.
No,
that wasn't negative. We're just competitive.
But I appreciate that because it is very interesting that many of the gentlemen who do get the award, they don't really tell people that they're being honored. And that just fits exactly with what you're saying, Jerome. It's just like, listen, we're just doing what we do, you know. We're not doing it for the sake of being honored. It's great. They're happy about it, but they don't really tell a lot of people because, you know, I don't know exactly why, but it sounds like it fits exactly with what you're saying, is not to brag or boast about what they do because they do it because they're men. You know, so
There is something about having to pat yourself on the back. I don't think that no other guy appreciates it. When someone comes to you normally and say, look what I did, this, this, and this, we usually think of them as lying. So nobody who actually have credibility in having those awards tell people. It's just kind of how we interact. We watch the game and just do what we do. No, just let it go.
Yeah. Well, tell me this also. What do you guys think about, you know, and this is a really general question, but just answer to the best of your ability if you would for me. What is it like, what does it mean to you, the concept of manhood? What does that mean to you?
Well, wow, that's a, you know, wow, that's a very interesting question, and I'm really somewhat dumb. I don't know how to answer that question because I'm like you, Jerome. I think that, I think things in life, as far as, you know, I can't speak for everyone else, but for me, I think things that happen in your life is what dictates or drive you to be the type of person that you turn out to be. Like, for example, with me, one of my pet peeves is, you know, being a father for my children. You know, I tell people all the time, I remember my friends would say things to me, hey, man, you hanging out? And I says, no, I got my girls. Oh, what, you babysitting? No, I don't babysit my own kids, man. I'm being dad. And the reason why I feel so adamant about that, because of the fact that, you know, there was no father in my life. So I try to do and try to be better than him. I try to exceed those types of standards. So I don't know if it's a situation where I can just come out and answer that question. I can just tell you from my perspective, being Jay Ryle, that's just one of the things that I try to do. I try to make sure that I'm a good father for my children. I try to make sure that I set the example. I try to make sure because of the position that I'm in and, you know, my real job, you know, because I am, you know, right there. I'm right there towards the top. So I try to to be an exceptional example for the young African American men that work for me, because I want them to see a positive guy or a positive African American man in that role. So I'm not sure if I answered the question, but for me, that's my answer, and I don't know if that's right, wrong, or indifferent.
Well, I mean, don't run a disclaimer on that, because I have pretty much the same answer. What happens is, you know, you go ahead and move forward with your own stature, and if you look for examples of people who have the posture that you want to be like, just look.
Right.
But if the person is telling you how to act, that's a different problem. So it's almost like, you know, for the record, my problem with life coaches generally, when people say that they coach other people's lives, it's very difficult it's difficult to instruct somebody what to do if you don't know the dynamics that they exist in. So you can have many mentors, you can have many examples in front of you, you just have to look, but you can't tell people what it is that they need to do. So when someone says to me, well, you don't seem to have that problem that I have, and I said, yeah, but I don't mix my words either. So usually I have an example I'm thinking of. I used to, when I would call a meeting, people would show up to my to meetings that I would have, and I would hear other people complain, you know, when we call meetings, people don't show, but you do, and people show. And I said, because I don't like meetings. Right? So I'm not going to play when I'm there. So if you're going to mimic or watch the example of somebody, just say what drives them and what characteristics did they have to create that person. So those of us who kind of move, we just are. We don't write it down and say, this is the kind of person that I am. You just kind of exist. And so I think that's hard for guys to define. I can't tell you the type of person that I am. Because I probably wouldn't sit back and write an autobiography. I haven't written one since my college application. Really,
right.
I haven't. I remember writing one. It wasn't too much to say out of high school, but still, I guess it was an autobiography.
You know, it's interesting you say that too, Jerome, because one of the things I've always thought about is that, you know, you live a life and you do things during the course of your life and during your journey, you know, that you may think is just ordinary things, but you'd be surprised at who might take interest and what you do and how you do it. And it's interesting when you say, I never wrote a book, I never wrote an autobiography, whatever. It's, you know, for me, your life's experiences, you know, things you may write about or things you may encounter may be something that someone else has encountered before, or maybe someone's about to go down that avenue and you can set the way for that. I've always thought that's interesting because, you know, I say to myself, would I buy Jerome's book? And I'm thinking I probably would. Because, you know, you seem to be a very interesting brother, and I'm pretty sure that some of your life's experiences would be something worth reading. Now, maybe you don't want to put it out there like that, but I'm thinking you should write a book.
Well, you know, I don't know if you know, I'm in the middle of writing a book on living, like on quantum living. It's based on quantum physics. And I was speaking to someone yesterday about this, and they said, I can't wait for you to finish this book. Can you finish it? And I said to them, I can't write unless you ask a question. You know what you know. And so what happens is that I can't formulate the words unless somebody puts thought in me. I don't sit back saying, you know, it would be interesting for people to know. And I think that people who live that way only live that way through example. So I can only find my story interesting if you have a question. Right? And I know that's difficult, but it really is difficult for me to sit back and write, although I do actually get that a lot. And it's like, would you finish that? Would you write this? And I have nothing to say, believe it or not, Jay, unless I get a question. I would actually, sit on the show and just go, I got nothing. Kathleen asked me questions, and I say, I got nothing to her all the time. So I'm sure she can relate to that pretty well.
It's interesting.
But,
you're absolutely
correct. But you can see how that would go, right? You try to live life in a way that because I'm not, you know, I'm independent politically, so I'm not. Black people generally are conservative, and so I am a personal privacy person. So I'm never interested in anybody else's business. I have a lot of friends, and I can be friends with you without getting into your business. Like, it's not an interesting story until you feel as if you need to tell a story or if there's a problem. But the thing is that once I pull back from it enough, it just says, if you need something, call me. But I'm not going to chase you down to make sure you're getting something that I'm not. And I think that's a character thing. So, yeah, it's always been pretty difficult for me to step up and say, here's what I did, you know. So, yeah, it's I know. That's just me. I know. It doesn't make good radio, but that's what I did. But if you ask me a question, then I'll do it. Yeah, I'll go for broke on it.
It makes for great radio, guys. It
Which
makes for
Kathleen?
Great radio. I said it makes for great radio. I just got a call from David Levy, who was our Man of the Year this year, and I missed the call. Can you believe that? I tried to answer this silly smartphone, and it and I
it wasn't that smart,
call.
Was it?
No, it wasn't that smart. So he's on the air right now, so I'm trying to get him back. So if you hear me picking up, just ignore me for a minute. So...
Okay, well, I tell you what, it's time for us to step out anyway, Kathleen. You want to step out and maybe bring him in during the second set?
Hey, David.
I guess that was it, Jay.
All righty, there it is. All right, folks, we'll step out. We'll be right back on Adam, Where Art Thou?
Adam,
and thirst quenching, chill kind of average and oldie but goodie, but it could never be the average. Guzzle it, sip it, let it flow. You know the seas. We're going to have a hell of a time with drinks like these.
Welcome back to Animal Art Thou. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. You can be a part of the conversation on 909-265-9189. It's time to give it back to Kathleen. Kathleen, sweetie, the floor is all yours.
Hi, everybody. With my, I'm back to talk with you. Oh, my goodness. All right, so that was David Levy of WBLS. As you know, WBLS is the same radio station that Steve Harvey is on in the morning, and David Levy has the evening show on the weekends, and his major show is on tonight, WBLS. He starts, if he's not on the air already, he's going to be calling me about 8:30, so I'll be backing out about that time to announce his honor, which is the Man of the Year for 2011 International Men's Day Great Men of Excellence. And he keeps asking me, guys, just like you all were talking about earlier, he's like, what did I do to deserve this? I don't get it. He said, did you guys just pick me, or were there other people considered for this? You know, he wants to know. He's like, what did I do? And I'm like, David, come on, man. You are, listen, people, one of the premier disc jockeys of the day, and people really listen to you. People listen to you for news. They listen to you for truth, and they listen to you for an opportunity to tell their side of the news stories. And he said, wow. You know? And we would think that he knows that, you know what I mean? And to him, it's just like you guys said, he's just doing what he does.
Yeah. Right. That usually works out.
Yeah, we all kind of exist with the mindset that we are doing what we do, and hopefully somebody likes us. Like, that is pretty much the beginning and end of it. But
yeah.
But your ego starts to take over to think that you, you know, as we like to say in the community, start smelling yourself when you start saying, "Everybody loves me." That's kind of insanity. So nobody does it. Well,
right,
nobody
right.
does it naturally. Mm-hmm.
And you would think, and we think, you know, that, well, I tell people that, oh wow, I got to pick up my phone. David Levy's calling me. They're like, David Levy! Oh, you know, ready to snatch the phone out of my hand. I'm like, guys, come on, relax a little bit. And
yeah, and he thinks nothing of it, right?
Yeah, and he's like, what am I getting this for again? I can't believe that he can't believe that he's getting it for all the great work that he does. So, but again, David Levy and David Dinkins and Percy Sutton, the Percy Sutton Award also, it's just going to be one heck of an evening. So I wish you guys were going to be here. I would really love to have you all in the house. So anyway. So back to our conversation. So, Jerome, I know you have some headline news for us. Do you want to go into that, and then we can come back to this conversation about manhood? Because I have a couple more questions for you guys. But can you want to go into that for a few minutes?
Well, we don't have to go. We don't have to go into news if you want to. If you want to ask the questions, we can just go there. You know, we have to keep Jay engaged, because you know Jay will disappear on us in a minute.
Oh, my goodness, Jerome. No, you didn't. We just been talking about all these great things about men, and you come and do that? Oh, my God. Wow.
I know. It is men's month or something. That wasn't a bash, Jay. I'm just saying, like, we can handle Kathleen. That's all I'm saying. I need a backup.
Okay. I got you. I got you.
I had to rewind that a little bit. You're right. You're right, my fault.
Okay, so here's one of the things that the questions that I want to ask, cause, and here it's a question that people ask me often. Like, look, not only are you a woman, but you're a single mother, so they expect sometimes for me to be down on guys, down on men and manhood and all of that. So I it's so the opposite. So I just wonder what it means to you all, or, you know, what you all think about, what's the best way to put this, really, how women view men. And I just, like, the importance of men in society, I see it as a really important thing for us to acknowledge just in society in general. And I think that the position that men play and the way you play it, even the way you're talking about what you do and how you just do what you do, not thinking about the recognition or anything else. And we're very different, men and women. So I just wonder, you know, how you think about manhood in society or men in society. Does it mean anything different to you than how, the role you see women play?
Well, once again, a very difficult question to answer. Well, you know, I guess you started the question off by talking about how men or people approach you and say, okay, you're a single mother, you know, why do you not have anything derogatory to say about men? And I will say this, that I was somewhat shocked as well, because it seems to me that you go out of your way to promote, you know, when it comes to men, and I thought that was a little odd in the beginning, because most women who are in a situation where maybe they're a single mother, whatever the case may be, will have something derogatory to say about a man, because in some cases, not in all cases, but in some cases, the reason why they are a single mother is because of something that some man has done to them. So you never get a good word. So, you know, I was very surprised to know that you're up front with this. I mean, hey, listen, we want to outline the things that men do. And I guess for me, the reason why, I guess your reasons for doing this, in my mind, it's almost as if it's like when you have people who have people who are ex-cons. You know, one of the things I tell people all the time is I'll give an ex-con a break, or give them a reason, or give them an opportunity, because if people don't give them opportunities and they resort back to their old ways, where am I going with this? Let me tie it up for you. Where I'm going with it is this, is that maybe that's the reason why you say so many positive things about men, is because if somebody don't say positive things about guys out there, then maybe they will resort to continue to be dogs or continue to do those types of things. And I, you know, I'm really shocked, and I'm really somewhat happy and proud to be associated with you, Kathleen, because bottom line is that, you know, a lot of women don't do what you do when it comes to, you know, uplifting the black man. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
I want to agree with that. Go ahead, Kathleen. I didn't mean to disturb. I mean, to jump in.
No, she's good. She just said thank you. Go ahead.
I definitely agree with that, but my thought is always that it's always women are the backbone of everything there is, and so
right.
It's always that thought for me is that, yep, it's good when women step up to say, hey, stay, you know, I'm proud of my child, I'm proud of my son, I'm proud of my husband, because that's the yin and yang of life, is that the nurturing part of that, and I know we're going to get into roles, and Kathleen is going to hang, she's going to kick me off the show, but what happens is that we still need the nurturing part. There is no competitiveness in us that says that we need to be better than women, but when you keep getting images of women saying that they want to be treated just like men, that is very confusing in a men's world. And so as women get down on men, it's usually in equality or equity situations, and it makes it appear to be in a relationship sense, opposed to them fighting for equal rights someplace else. So it gets to be confusing, and I think some people take that out of context, and they think that there's just no quality men out there, because the only people who get voices, or the only people who speak, are people who, when they speak negatively. It's almost like listening to the president. I know we're going to probably talk about politics later, but it's almost like speaking about the president. The reason in the last 2 years everybody thinks that, you know, healthcare is bad and his poll numbers are down and all of that nonsense is because the only people who get a chance to speak in TV is people who say something negative about the president. I mean, so of course people think that he's not doing a good job. It's the only people that you get to hear. But the people who supported him and voted for him and who understand this stuff generally, they don't speak and they don't poll. So when you talk about men and men's issues and things, it is you know, you can see that Jay and I are a little kind of tongue-tied when it comes to saying, what is it that you expect as a man that you want people to, you know, when do you want them to acknowledge you, and what kind of traits? And we're like, We're men. Me and Jay will just have pizza, drink a beer, and watch the game. It's like, yeah.
There you go.
Right? We're not writing no letters. We're not going to give you, tell you how we feel about our team losing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you that today, too. My team lost, but I'm sorry. I've digressed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. I'll do an International Men's Day show, Jay. I'm going to have to bring this back. My fault. I don't mean to have any angst on Kathleen's show just for the guys. She's supposed to be uplifting us. That's why she's here. Thank
well,
you, Kathleen.
She is. I mean, yeah,
Jay,
Kathleen is the best. Yeah, she's the best. There's no doubt.
Yep. Yep, and keeps us from fighting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have a son, and that's, I think, probably one of the things that got me, that, not I think, that is one of the things that got me started on this, is the fact that I have a son, and I watched him and studied him and other men as he moved into manhood, because I was not one that believed that a woman couldn't raise a man. You know, I was raising him. So what are you talking about? He's going to be a man. It kills me.
You're right.
He is going to be a man, and I'm not going to tell him that he can't be. So I needed to recognize where I needed help, you know. And what ended up happening for us is that my son knows he knows his father. His father and I were married at one point, and he has a relationship with him still, but he and I did not, you know, a lot of people talk about co-parenting and so forth. He and I, we did not co-parent, if you will, in that sense of the word, the way people describe it. So he doesn't live nearby. So when things came up and they were urgent and they came up, I needed help. And yes, my mom was around and my sister was around. You know, we have a very close-knit family, but all female. My father died, you know, in 1995, so Sean was still very young. But so what I did when I needed to get special messages across to him, or I needed to give information to him that maybe I wouldn't have understood how a man would handle it, and I couldn't understand why he wanted to punch stuff, you know, or put his hand through a locker, or all these other things, I needed guys to help me. So I used to go to, you know, his coaches and friends of mine who could talk to me about the things that men do and how men see things, and who were willing to talk with him. You know, they would help me understand so I wouldn't flip out trying to get him to see things like I saw them. And they would also talk with him. So if not for the example of manhood that I had in the coaches and the friends of mine who participated in raising Sean for me, he couldn't be the young man that he is today. And I'm very, very, very proud of him. But I had a lot of help, and I had a lot of help from men. And I realized the importance of that in my life and in his life. And that's why it just is, it's the next natural thing for me to say, listen, for all of you that helped me and for all of you that are helping the other young men, and they need it so desperately, thank you. You know, thank you. And for all of you who are just doing what, you know, you're just doing what you do, maybe you don't even recognize or understand how important just being who you are and just doing what you do is to other people. Maybe you don't see it. But for those of us who are the beneficiaries of it, and those of us who can just sit by and watch you in your manness and see just how much of an example you are for our children and for anybody else who's watching, it's just important to me. It's that important to me to be able to say thank you, because now my son will walk in the same circles that you do because of all that you were willing to share with me and all that you've been willing to share with him.
Well, Well, you know, and so when you break it down like that, it really and truly puts to me now that, you know, now there's a light on what you're saying. Now it makes sense why you do what you do. So, I mean, hey, listen, you know, even though I know I didn't play an active role in that whole process, but you're right. I think that there are some good brothers out there, good men in general, that will step up to the plate and provide that type of leadership. You know, one of the things I say that when you are a leader of men, especially if you're a coach, people don't realize how important coaches are in the lives of young men and in young ladies. And so, you know, when you sit back and think about it, and this is what Jerome and I have been saying pretty much the whole night, it's like, you know, we just do what we do, and we don't realize sometimes the impact that we have on people, on their lives, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, appreciate the kudos, and you're right, there are some good brothers out there that will definitely step up to the plate and do those types of things for you. So, yeah, absolutely. I understand now. Thank you, Kathleen.
Well, you're welcome. But and I'm glad you said that. I'm really glad that you said that, that even though I didn't play a role in it, because there's where and that's classic. That is classic for me, and I'm so glad you said that, because you don't realize that you do play a role in it, because Sean sees everybody that I interact with. He knows who you are, Jay. He sees how you run the TJR's radio network. He knows how you interact. He knows how professional you are, that you're on the radio. He's listened to the serious side. He knows that you are doing this kind of work that you do every day, and that that's something, hey, if I wanted to have a radio network, I could have one, because my mom knows somebody who has one. As a matter of fact, she started her show in the format that she did because a gentleman by the name of Jay Ryle invited her to be a part of the network. She's on his AM Sirius side show on Sunday mornings because of the work that he does and puts together. She also acts the fool on Saturday night with him telling corny jokes.
Yeah, there you go. Don't forget the corny joke part.
Can you scratch that part?
Please don't forget that.
Lives out her dream of being a comedian on his Wednesday night and Saturday night show. You don't realize that. You don't know. It's Sean, when the there was some program that he went to the other night with jokes, and he's like, Mom. You know, he turns on the show for me so I can watch it and records it so I will have more jokes to tell on your show.
Jay. You know, and on that note, it's good that the jokes come on Saturday, but the serious side is on Sunday. So you can bring it back if the jokes not work. Is that how it goes? Good job, Kathleen.
Oh, my God. Now we know who to blame. Oh, okay. You need to stop this time.
No. He has less than 24 hours to soak in the joking before he gets back to the serious side. So that's cool. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's funny. Wow. That is hilarious. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you probably would never know that. And that's the reason why it's so important to me, because you guys, in your walk, in your everyday walk, you just know who you are and what you do. And sometimes, until somebody tells you, you don't really know how many people are watching. Really watching.
Yeah.
You don't know how many sons of single mothers are really getting another example of manhood from you.
Well, man, I don't know how to act behind that. Now, we do have a phone call if you want to take the phone call. I'm not sure what to say, but thank you. Wow. All right. We do have a phone call if you like, Kathleen. We can bring him in whenever you're ready.
Sure. Tell us who it is and invite him on to the set. I'd love to hear who it is
we have about 5 minutes left in the set. Looks like, I think this is Steve from Indianapolis. Steve, is this you?
Hey, fellas, man. Yeah. Got me fired up this morning about those kids, man. I was thinking about my little brother, man. The halfway take a guy out, man. You know, my the masculinity, the chest, the pecs started sticking out, man. I was like, man, you know, you touch my little brother, man. It's on, brother. I'm going to have to kill you, brother. But, you know, you talk about manhood, too. this is the thing. When we talk about the single mothers, you know, independence, women being independent, this is the first time it's been tried in world history. And so that's where I think the misconception is coming from, is that, you know, never before in the world, you know, have women been independent as there was in the Western nations now. So it's like an experiment, you know, and so that's, men have really been marginalized by this. You know, you have women super successful now. And so, you know, we've been marginalized by the system as well. So I understand we're talking about manhood, and a lot of people want to see super successful marriage rates and families and all that, but we're in a different type of culture now, and this is an experiment. You know, it's never been done before, you know. So, and I think that's where we have to, you know, give it time. You know, can there be successful racially independent women marriage rates? Yes. You know, so many red blog talk radio, so they keep doing it over and over again. Why are so many black women single and all this and that? And I'm like, this is an experiment. It's never been done before in world history. We got to give it time to play it out. And, you know, and as long as you be reasonable on your wish list, then they'll be fine. But, you know, otherwise there's going to be a lot of women dying lonely. And that's just the truth. Never been done before, so we got to give some time to play it out. But, yeah, man, who's in effect, a lot of boys, just there's a lot of simping and acting like a sissy and a lot of gayness going on running around here. And manhood is definitely, we need to bring it back, man. It's too much niceness going on nowadays, especially in politics. I don't want to bring up niceness. Next year, all hell is going to break loose on politics. And I'm ready for some of the best debates in history on the Blog Talk Radio. Believe that. I am ready for it. I am geared for it. I want it.
Well, it's great. Coming out.
So, it's coming up, you know. What you think about my comments, Princess and Kathleen?
Okay, I didn't get it.
I didn't understand,
because you were in a couple of different places, and so I didn't really understand it, but I did get that you want to see manhood coming back, so I'm taking that as the, you like the celebration of manhood, and you think it's important, and you think that women have, I'm just stretching, I didn't get the rest of it, I didn't understand.
Yeah, I want to make a comment just generally. I know I don't want to have this topic discussion on the Penn State stuff again, but I understand where he was going with this. But I was talking about this morning, and as you brought up Sean and talked about the influence of other people, I kept thinking without saying this morning that we're all raised by a community. And so it wasn't necessarily my manhood is always challenged inside the house with the father and all that other stuff. I spent a lot of time at my aunt's house with my uncles, hanging out with my cousins, and so I hung out with my older cousins. And, you know, we nurture as community. And sometimes we get selfish to believe that the world is about you, but it's always about the collective, and that's how the black community in particular has survived for so long. But as we assimilate the greater culture, we will see more separation. You know, the concept of nursing homes did not come out of our culture. We don't really separate older our mothers and grandmothers just because of their age. Like, we don't do that, or send our kids away to say they can go to a boarding school and they come. We don't do that as a community. And so what happens is that we've always raised kids collectively. And so I'm conscious when I'm around my friends' little girls, I'm conscious about being around their boys, because they need to see stature amongst them. They need to see how their father's friend is talking to their mother, right? And we watch that and we mimic. And so it's very important that we always understand that it's not about you as an individual mother or father raising your kids. It's about this, the network and association that you have as a parent when you're raising kids.
Absolutely.
Well said.
Thank you for that, Jerome. And thank you, Steve. Just because I didn't understand it right at the moment, I know you made a very important point, and I felt your passion about this discussion about manhood. Jay, I'm wondering if we can forego this break because we've been joined by Minister Abdul Hafiz Hamid, a very important friend of mine and guest this evening, and he's
Absolutely.
Joining us. Yes, if we could forego that, I'd like to bring him in. Introducing to some and presenting to others, someone I am very, very honored to know and be able to talk with. He is also going to be the keynote speaker for this year's Men of Excellence International Men's Day Awards. He is none other than Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, and we are honored to have you with us tonight, Minister Muhammad. Thank you so much.
Oh, assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you, Kathleen, and to your guests.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to have you always, to have you on
it's
the program.
It's an honor to be with you and your listening audience. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. And I'd just like to introduce you to my co-hosts for this evening, Mr. J. Riles and Mr. Jerome Esprit are on the line with us tonight as well.
Oh, peace be unto you, both of you, my brothers. Thank you so much. I was listening to you for a moment while we were waiting to come on with you.
Great.
Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Minister Muhammad, you are going to be our keynote this year. You have been so busy all year round talking around, and I've been keeping up with you as you go around the city and various places talking and encouraging people and giving them really, really important words of wisdom. And what the conversation that we're having this evening is really about the importance of manhood and the example of manhood. So I just wanted you to share with us. I just want to give you take it away. Let everybody know, your position, your important position in New York and northern New Jersey in the nation. So if you would.
Thank you. I serve as the New York representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my honor and my privilege, and I was just with him in Houston, Texas, on Wednesday and Thursday when Minister Farrakhan addressed 5,000 to 6,000 students at the Prairie View A&M University, and he hadn't been there since 1988, and he was indeed a professor on the highest spiritual, social, and mental level with those students, and the presence of God touched their lives forever, and so we were thankful. And then we came back on Saturday, and we spoke at Essex County College at the Health and Wellness Fair on healthy relationships, and I represent Minister Farrakhan in the New York region area, and it's my privilege to serve. Let me say to you, Kathleen, and to your audience, the importance of manhood has nothing to do with a high tone in the voice. It has nothing to do with physical prowessness. It has everything to do with a connection with the Creator, having a relationship with Him personally. And then it has all to do with developing character, integrity, self-esteem. Being a man is first realizing that we are born from God as our Father. Then we come into the hands of parents who either handle us well or mishandle us or hand us over to others. Yet God the Father, the Creator, is still with us. As a Muslim, we say Allah, but it is the same God. He's with us. Then we grow into maturity, and then we're able to see things for ourselves and make certain decisions. We've either grown up with a carefree life, or we've grown up with a responsible one, or we've grown up and we've been touched by circumstances. That same God is with us. Now we become young adolescents. We attempt to go through our phases of education. We attempt to decide what we want to do in life. Now we are mature men and adults. Many young boys are emotionally bankrupt. Many grown men are emotionally bankrupt because we have not been had the investment put in us. We are thankful for those good fathers and mothers. We are thankful for those good mothers who've been mothers and fathers. We are thankful for a smaller percentage, but we appreciate them as fathers who've been fathers and mothers to their children. However, a man must be measured by his development toward God, his Father, and he must be measured by how he's responsible to educate those that are his offsprings or how he spends time with those that are not his offsprings. I'm thankful to be able to say that after 25 years of being with my wife, that I've raised all of my children by the grace of God. Someone asked me the question, how do you help the problem that we have among us with black males? Well, don't become a part of the problem. I chose to be a part of the solution, but I couldn't have done it without the grace and the permission of God and the love and the desire to wake up. I have two sons and three girls. The question is, in this society, do boys need more assistance than girls? Well, I say it like this. My daughter, my eldest daughter, of one of my sons is older than all of them, she excelled higher than my son. It wasn't that my son couldn't excel, but he got inspired when he saw that his sister was going to just outdistance him, not because of age, but by him applying himself at the same age she was, he was further behind. And when we began to reset his mind and his thinking, now think of this now, he's growing up with a father full of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, teaching it to his son. But what we must remember, Kathleen, is all of our children will have their own unique experiences. It doesn't make a difference whose loins you come from, whose womb you come from. Just because you come from the loins and the womb of a great man and great women does not mean that that's totally transferred to the children. There's a part of you with them, definitely your DNA, your personality. But there's a part of their personality they must develop themselves. And so, by resetting his thinking, my son has excelled, and now he will graduate with a degree. Not just so much the degree, but he will graduate with that which will allow him to move into the field of business administration for himself and for his family and for his people. He wants to get out and do for himself. So what I'm saying to us is we have to be examples. All of us as men have to recognize our shortcomings, our idiosyncrasies, look in the mirror and tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves, and then be open with our children. And I'll say this point, and I'll let you we go further. My son said to me one day when I was upbraiding him, giving him some discipline, he let me finish, and he says, Dad, you didn't have to go that far with me like that. I am so impressed by you. I still want to be like you. Others want to be like Mike, but I want to be like you. All you have to do was ask me, and I would have done what you wanted me to do. He humbled me so much. My eldest son, one day, I came home when I was working for others, and I had done a long double trip, or double shift, excuse me, or triple shift, and I was tired, and I wanted to go to rest, and I came in to take him to school, and I took him to the bus stop, and I rushed him out, and he was trying to tell me something, and I said, shut up, boy, let's get to the bus stop. 15 minutes, no bus, 30 minutes, no bus, 45 minutes, no bus. I looked down at the little fella, and I said, hey, what's going on with the bus today? He said, I was trying to tell you before you told me to shut up. I didn't have any school today. See, so when we begin to listen to those ones among us, we help them grow. We show them maturity. We show them character development. We tend to think because we're parents, we're always fully developed. But many of us are not fully developed. We're far from it, and we grow right along with our children. So the more developed we are, the more we can develop our males, and the more we can develop our females. And the dangerous thing, Kathleen, is today, even though girls mature 3 years, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, 3 years in front of the male, girls today are falling or slipping backwards, and we must spend the necessary time feeding them, teaching them, guiding them, and directing them, because where there are no decent women and upright women, there won't be any men around to be upright as well. So while we make this thrust with the black male that needs to be done, because the man must take his position of leadership in his family, he must take the position of strength in his community, but he must also take the position of character against the wiles of Satan and develop integrity and trustworthiness so that he can become the God that he is. Because the book of Hebrews says, ye are all God's children of the Most High God. Not dogs, not niggers, not Negroes, gods. And that's what we got to make in the black man, the presence of God come alive.
Amen. Thank you. Powerful. Minister Hafiz, I would like to ask you to address a particular aspect of what you just said. You said so much, and there's so much there for us to talk about. But one of the things that I noticed as, you know, raising my son, one of the things that I really noticed was when when we are in the company of other adults. Even it just happened. I'll give you the example. Just the other day, we went to vote, and we got into the voting booth. We got into the polling place rather. The adults in the room, they looked to me and said, "Well, my son's 24, by the way."
Yeah.
They looked at me and they said, "Is he voting? Is he here to vote?" And I was like, "You can ask him. He's standing right here." One of the things that I've noticed over the years as he was growing up is that as adults, sometimes we don't listen to our young people. And we don't, especially the young men, we don't give them the opportunity to speak in such a way that we think that they, you know, what they're saying is worthy. Not in your example, but in my example with my son, I've seen people just talk over him and ignore and a lot of times he will have the answer, and they don't listen. You know, so it was very interesting to see him at 24 years old. They're still looking to me, asking me questions about him, and it makes me uncomfortable. I don't even know necessarily how to address it so much as to say, you know, you can ask him. He's right here, and he will answer. You know,
you know, Kathleen, some years back, me and my wife were in Pathmark shopping, as we've done to raise our children, to feed them and to clothe them and guide them. And we bought about $600 worth of food this day, and, you know, the brothers may wonder, $600, I have five children, so that's why. And that's a lot of children to feed. And when we would always get two carts, get online, and then we would go up. I would get in front because I would bag all of the bags. As a matter of fact, I've become a master bagman all of these years shopping with my wife. And at the end of it, the Caucasian lady at the register, she happened to be Caucasian, she looks. And when the bill came up, she said, "Is that all he's going to do is bag the food?" And my wife looked at her, and all of the other service agents were right there looking and listening. And my wife said, she pulled out six $100 bills, and she said, "He's the one that gave me the money to pay for the food." Her face just fell to the floor. So here I am, a grown man, and the image is all I'm doing, all I'm good enough for is to bag the food. She didn't consider that I'm the one that gave the money for the food, but my wife backed me up. So now take that to your son, who's 24. That means there's a stereotypical image of the black male. Some of it we are responsible for because of how we purported ourselves. But overall, it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with a superiority complex that others have, that a black man is not intelligent enough for himself. Oh, yes, once you become a rapper, oh, yes, once you can catch a football, oh, yes, once you can dunk a ball, oh, yes, once you can make me happy singing a song, we'll give you respect. But as a whole, many people think, and I'm not talking about in the genre of all youth, because there's a different culture and ebb and flow among young people where this is concerned. But among elders, they will think that we are boys. One day I was going into a pool place, because I'm a pool enthusiast, and I went to go get another stick. And when I went to the desk, the older man, one of the owners, he said, "All right, I saw you was in here. This is a nice stick that you're getting. All right, boy, I'm going to ring you up now." I said, "Boy, who the hell do you think you are talking to?" I said, "I'm a grown man. I'm a husband. I have children. No one calls me boy." And when I finished talking to him and upbraiding him, the brother on the side put up his two hands and said, "Yes, somebody finally put him in his place." And I told him, "Well, if he ever called you that, you should have done it before me." Then he would have never thought that he could have done it. The next time I came there, he called me sir. He called, "Can I do for you, sir?" See, so what I'm saying is that when these moments come, and as you said it, let my son answer it for you. See, that's what we got to do. We got to direct them. you know, because we are looked at a certain way, and this is why black men don't have time to look like buffoons. We don't have time wearing our hats backwards when the cap is supposed to go frontwards. We don't have time to have our pants sagging, whatever that word is spelled backwards or whatever it came from. The bottom line is young black men still do it, but we don't. We got to realize how that hurts the already stereotypical image that the world already has of us. And so we must be upright. And so I've seen your, met your son, and I know that he's a young, intelligent man. People don't give each other the benefit of the doubt, and they make fools of themselves when they don't. But this will continue to happen until all black men begin to unite and show ourselves to be worthy when we speak out of our mouths. We don't speak with profanity. That when we do, we carry our actions go in front of us. We can't stop, you know, Kathleen, people being stereotypical, but what we can do is send a signal out that we're not the ordinary black man that you think that you've been calling a Negro. Truly, we are really black men, men of integrity and knowledge. And when we look at our young people, they will amaze us if we really look at them and not judge them. They will amaze us. I remember raising my children, and they were all sitting down one day, and white couples came over and said, "Can you teach my children how to do that?" "Surely, if you pay me, I'll teach them right now. But I'm not going to just give you the wisdom, because I invested time in them. I really didn't want their money. I was just letting them know that they are black families that know how to take care of business. When we go out to dinner, you know, there's ways you need to carry yourself, because we got to realize people are stereotypical, and I love busting down and busting up mental ideas that they have of us as black men and realize that we're really men. And we're not men like any other men, brothers. You know, we're really extraordinary men if we understand it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, because it's been years since he was. Yes, thank you, Hafiz Abdul Muhammad, because it's been years since he was in high school, in junior high school. I learned when he was very young to listen to him, because not only is he very smart, he had a lot to share with me that I didn't understand, that I didn't know.
Indeed. And we thank you, Kathleen, for raising your son. We thank you for being a mother and a father to your son to get him where he is. And so many women are like that, like you are. And you are an inspiration for women and for men to be on point. We thank God for you and all that you've done and all that you do and all that you will continue to do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
That means a lot to him. And you'll be surprised how that impacts your son on how he's going to treat women in his life.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised how he will raise his daughters. And you'll be surprised how that will impact him, how he will become an even better father to his own sons in his family, and how he will be a good mentor to others. It means a lot.
Thank you so much, and I know he sees you too, and it is important to him, and he's a great teacher. I've seen him with children already, you know, and I marvel at it when I watch him. He teaches me a lot of things, so I appreciate that from him, and for all of the, you know, the other young men. It just, when I watch them as they walk through the neighborhood and their various places, and as you described the dress and so forth, I wonder who is listening to them. And even though their pants may be sagging and their dress may be questionable, it doesn't mean that they don't have something to offer. And I just wonder, Minister, how do we really get the message across to them that the dress, and I know you do an incredible job with this, because when I come to the mosque, there is
Adam.
Where art thou?
Hey, are you there? Okay, great. When I come to the mosque, there's no such thing as a man dressed this way. So,
No, ma'am.
Right. So, and I just wonder,
we don't judge
what...
people. We don't judge people. I'll give you an example. In my barber shop out in Long Island one day, and my brother walks in. My barber has me laid back, giving me a shave. And all I seen was his underwear because his pants were sagging. I said, brother, can you please lift me up? I said, brother, with all due respect, you know, I understand those are your pants. I understand it's your backside, but I don't need to see it. Could you please just pull up your pants, brother, and be respectful in our presence? He pulled up his pants. Later on, I went into another establishment a few weeks later, saw the brother in the establishment dressed with a 9-piece suit on. In other words, it was a 3-piece, but, you know, I'm being dramatic. He had this 9-piece suit on, and I said, oh, you do know how to dress. And I said, I bet you have a belt on. He said, yes, I do. And I said, because you didn't judge me or you didn't come down on me is the reason why I fixed up my pants. Now, when I saw him months later, he came in again. Pants were still sagging. He looked over and saw me. He pulled them up. See? So it didn't break him out of what he does, but it made him become mindful that if you're not judged, then you can change a person. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you don't shame the black man, he won't change his condition. See, the word shame does not mean insult, and it does not infer that we judge one another and we come down on them like a gendarme or a French policeman and to order them around. All we have to do is say the best words we can. Brother, don't you think it's in our best interest that we should all look better? And you know what I tell people, Kathleen? I say, how do you think, you call me the minister, well, how do you think I would look if my pants were sagging? You think I could run with your crew like that? You would say to me, you shouldn't be like that. Well, if you can say that to me, then I can say it to you. See, when we change the language, Minister Farrakhan has taught me, you change the mentality. So we have to change our language of how we approach our young people, because you're right. Because the pants sag and because the jeans are tight does not mean that the brain is not right. So therefore, we have to approach young people as intelligent young people and then say to them, at the end of the day, how is someone going to know how intelligent you are when they look at you dressed like that? And we do more of that, then we can begin to change their hearts and their minds, and then their pants will come up, and the pants will get looser, and we'll give a better representation to the world.
Thank you for that. And, Minister, will you share some words with the women who are listening with regards to their hopes for a relationship? I know we're coming short, close to time. We have about 6 minutes left, I believe. Mm-hmm. But just for, I know so many women who are, you know, concerned about being able to find a mate and find relationships and so forth. And if you could just send out some encouragement and some hope to them.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me say to every woman who's looking to find a good mate, you first have to find yourself. The prerequisite for any male-female relationship is the knowledge of yourself. Every woman must develop her degree of self-esteem, self-determination, and character within herself. No female should ever rely upon a man to tell you whether you're beautiful, even if you are. You should not let no man make you conceited. You should not let a man determine your self-worth. You determine that by how God has measured you already. And he has measured the woman as his second self. He has made the woman a helpmeet to the man. But he's made you to be able to stand on your own until a good man presents himself. And if you're going to choose one, then you have to choose one that's the opposite of you, that can complement your shortcomings. But no woman should choose a man that does not have vision. Every man must have a vision of where he wants to go in life and how he wants to achieve it, because then that activates the help me part of the female to come and help that man meet and overcome, and then it helps her to see herself come alive in helping her man, whom God has put at the head to thrust in this life, because she's been too busy doing it all by herself. You can't meet a man in the club. You can't meet a man in places of ill repute and think you can clean that man up. That man has to have a desire to clean himself up. Then you can then kick in and help that man become what he needs to be. So much more to be said on this, but I know time is short, and we can come back at another time and dedicate some more time. But I just say to the sisters, focus on yourself and don't shorten your standards because you have been without a man. As long as you are with God, you are the majority, and you'll be fine. You said, but I need a man to satisfy me. No, you don't need a man to satisfy you because no man can fully satisfy you. The only one who can do that is God himself, and no woman can fully satisfy a man, only God himself. We are temporary vessels of comfort to one another. The greatest satisfaction is when you can be satisfied mentally with peace of mind and contentment of heart. And sometimes you're more peaceful to yourself right now. You don't need two persons to make it bad when you can do bad by yourself. So if you're going to get a man, make sure he's a good man and the best of men who brings you peace in your life.
Amen. So, Minister, and we have like 3 minutes, so I just want to ask you real quick, tell me about International Men's Day. Do you think there is an importance to having a day where we are celebrating great men of
Definitely. It is how beautiful it is when brethren or brothers can dwell together in unity and black women can recognize men in the spirit of the Million Man March. And my minister and teacher, Minister Farrakhan, who led that gathering 15 years ago on the Mall, International Men's Day is a beautiful day to salute the goodness of men and the beauty of many black fathers who do wonderful things, who are good fathers, good husbands, good stepfathers, good mentors, good teachers, and good brothers and men who love God as their father. It's a wonderful time. And we look forward to being with you this coming Saturday, and we want everyone to come out to International Men's Day and support our sister Kathleen Williams and all who are with her on this wonderful occasion. And we look forward to being there and seeing you there as well.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, none other than Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad. Minister, tell everyone how they can get in touch with you and come hear you speak at Mosque Number 7.
You can hear me at Mosque Number 7 at 106-08 West 127th Street in Harlem on Sundays from 11 to 1. You can reach me through at mosque7.org, M-O-S-Q-U-E, the number 7.org. And know everything about Mosque Number 7, its ministries, our work in the community, our work with men, women, and children. And we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much again for being here. I can't wait to see you next week.
Can't wait to see you as well.
Thank you again.
Peace be unto you, Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad. We thank him for being here at Mosque Number 7, and he always comes and brings just wonderful words of wisdom to live by and to give you much thought over the rest of your day and the rest of your life as well. And I just want to thank everyone who was here tonight, all those of you who are in the chat room, both on Ask Kathleen and Adam, Where Art Thou? Thank you, Jerome, for being here. And Jay, I know we're probably a little bit over time, but Jerome and Jay, I would love for you to give your final thoughts before we close out. We have probably no time. I think Jay's probably extended the time for us so we could close out.
Well, you know, I guess I'll go first. I just want to say that I appreciate the words that I've heard, and I feel inspired by them. So it's really hard for me to close off with another thought after pondering some of the things that were said. And I'm also, I don't want to call it an alumni, but a participant of the Million Man March. And I say on my program all the time that we don't appreciate Honorable Minister Farrakhan enough for that day, but the people who were there do appreciate it. And so I wanted to say that just to put that out in the universe a little bit. So we all appreciate it, and we all live in accordance to being respectful to other men, and we know what that meant to us as a community. So I really just wanted to put that out there and say that in honor of the brother that spoke. So I just really wanted to say that.
Thank you, Jerome. Thank you. Jay, are you there? You want to give your final words? Maybe we lost Jay. I'm not sure. So I will I will speak for him. I know he is listening. Probably maybe the line is muted right now. But I just wanted to thank everybody for listening. This has been an extraordinary program as we celebrate and herald men. We were inspired and educated by Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad. And thank you so much, Jerome, for being here tonight and sharing your thoughts as well. You talked to me a lot about the Million Man March and how important that was to you and how, you know, the celebration of the anniversary of the Million Man March that just recently passed. So I thank all of you. I look forward to seeing you at the Great Men of Excellence Awards at the Black Spectrum Theater next Saturday, November 19th at 6 o'clock p.m. 6 to 7 is the networking. The program will begin at 7. You will be able to hear Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad again Saturday. He is our keynote speaker, and we are looking forward to the words of wisdom that he will be sharing that night, powerful words of wisdom he will be sharing with us that night. And also you'll get to see David Dinkins and David Levy and Ann Tripp and many other fabulous people who will be in the house to celebrate and exalt men in our community. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams. You're listening to Adam, Where Art Thou? And for my co-host, Mr. J. Ryle, and sitting in tonight for Ronnie, Mr. Jerome Esprit of Esprit Net Radio, we thank you. We wish you a phenomenal evening, and we will see you again next week. God bless you all.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne. As we come before your presence, we honor you alone. So we lift up our voices as trumpets heralding you. You are the King of glory, so this is what we do, in humble adoration, Father, we bow before your throne, as we come before your presence, we honor you alone, so we lift up our voices, as trumpets heralding you, you are the King of glory. So this is what we do. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today.
Hey, Jerome, I'm glad you're still here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, we are going into our after show to the show, Adam, Where Art Thou? You are listening now to Ask Kathleen, the after show. And we're just going to take a real quick break, have a news break and a PSA, and we'll be right back with Ask Kathleen. So sit tight.
Welcome to EspriNet News. 90-second news break. Fox is bringing back the sketch comedy series In Living Color with creator and star Keenan Ivory Wayans on board as host and executive producer. Two half-hour specials will air as part of the network's 25th anniversary celebration in mid-season. If successful, it will join the regular schedule next season. Two chemicals considered harmful to children are still in some bottles of Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo, according to a coalition of health and environmental groups. The disputed ingredients are dioxane and the substance called Quinterium 15 they release formaldehyde. Johnson & Johnson said it's reducing or gradually phasing out the chemicals. So we have to read labels. 30 large and profitable U.S. companies paid no income taxes from 2008 to 2010. A comprehensive analysis of 280 corporations on Forbes list found that on $160 billion in profits, they paid negative $10 billion in taxes for an average effective rate of negative 6.7%. In Washington, a federal judge approved the government-backed settlement that will provide $1.25 billion in relief to thousands of black farmers wronged by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News.
Hey, Dad, what are you doing at the start of the school year? Why not take the time to take your child to school? In September, we celebrate Dad's Take Your Child to School Day. Our children need us. It's important for them to know we care. Find out when your child's school celebrates this event and join with fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, and mentors in taking your child to school together. Then stay involved. Your child will love it and do better in school.
This is a message from the State and City of New York.
I'm trying to lower this so that we can talk over it, Jerome. So, what did you think of the show?
Oh, well, you know, I always enjoy listening to most ministers from the nation, and I want to say that he probably should have. That's the conversation. What you were asking me and Jay. He is a professional with that. Like, when you have people uplifting people massively, it's what they do, you know. And so it always sounds, you know, it always sounds not better, but it just as in a matter of opinion, it's good to have someone uplifting for the people who need to hear that. You know, I never really feel like that's my role. So I always feel like, you know, we need to not just lift people up from, you know, from A to B, but we already need somebody in C, D, and E, and so people have to stay up there too, and so we have to keep progressing, you know. So it's good. I always enjoy, you know, listening to good word.
Yeah, me too. And it's always an honor to have him come on the show. The knowledge and the wisdom, you know, that he shares is just incredible. But I do want to say, just in defense of you and Jay, the information that you give as well and the insight that you have and the perspective that you share as well is also so very important. You know, it's important for us just to speak with you and to hear how you feel about it, so that, you know, those of us who interact with you on a daily basis can understand a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more about, you know, about men and what men are thinking and what's on their minds and how they see their role. You know, it's just really great.
Well, I think it's all valuable. I think it really is valuable. But I think on the uplifting side, we do need people who are going to come in and say it in a way that folks are going to be able to hear it. And so sometimes go ahead. That's Jay talking.
Oh, I said yeah. That was just a yeah. That was just a yeah, just an agreement. Go ahead.
Okay. I thought Jay was talking, so I thought I heard another voice. So yeah. But you know, everybody plays a role, and I think that was the important part.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, Jerome, let's talk a little bit about some of those current events that you had. I would love to hear the current events, some of the news stories that are, you know, impacting our world right now.
Well, you know, I don't know where to begin on news, so I can just, I'll start with, there are news stories that always think are, not that I always think are as missing, but I think there's some things that we kind of need to know that's out there, like news stories about wellness and health and politics and, you know, invention. I think we always need those types of stories out there. And so on our news show, we still don't have enough time to do all of those news stories. So I did keep a couple of them for you just in case we were able to do some news. So one of the news stories. All right. So it was one of the news stories was about, it was a story about a new, I don't know what to call it, an invention, but it's a shoe that was created for Alzheimer's patients, and it's the first shoe built with a tracking device in it. Now, it costs a little bit over $250, and it has a miniature GPS, similar to those that are in navigation systems found in cars, and the wearer can be located accurately or pinpointed using, like, a smartphone. So you can set the GPS on someone's shoes to trigger a signal to you if they go outside of a certain boundary, and it's for Alzheimer's patients, mind you. And so this American company, who claims to be the first company in the world to do this for Alzheimer's victims, is this Los Angeles-based company. And they said the first 3,000 batches of shoes will go on sale later this month. I just kind of find that story interesting because I can see that going all sorts of wrong, Kathleen. So I'm sure you can – I'm sure you'll add to that, but I see it going all kind of wrong.
Well, yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you. I can see that going wrong too. However, my mom had a slight case of Alzheimer's. And I'll tell you, one of the most – I'll never forget this day, this night, actually. It was the middle of the night, and I was downstairs sleeping, and I just, you know, I heard some noise, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on, you know, whether I should, but I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. I was sleeping, and something, I say something, but I know it was God, woke me up just in the middle of the night, and I jumped up like, what's going on? And I just said, let me go upstairs and just check on Mom. And I went upstairs in her room. As I got upstairs, I noticed that the back door was open. And so now I'm panicking, wondering what, you know, did somebody come in? What's going on? So I run into her room. She's not in her room. And I run back to the door and go outside, and my mother was standing in the middle of the street, just standing there, not really understanding what she was doing or where she was. And I just, you know, kind of gently walked up to her. And, you know, talk to me, Mom, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, what are you doing? And, you know, she's just going into the kitchen to get something or whatever. So I'm walking, you know, take her hand and walk her out of the street and bring her back inside and take her back in the room. And it just petrified me because I didn't know how to then lock her in the house and be able to keep her safe. You know, because anything could have happened to her out there. So, in a way, you know, she could have continued to walk had I not woken up. It was, I think it was like 3:30 in the morning. So if I didn't wake up, I don't know where she might have been, you know, or what could have happened to her. So I kind of understand that. The way I solved the problem was by setting the alarm every night so that if the door was opened, you know, she wouldn't be able to turn the alarm off, so that would alert everybody that, you know, a door had opened up. But I can see both sides of that. You know, I can see it going wrong, but I could also see it being really helpful, having had that experience.
For me, again, I'm a personal security kind of person from being a computer person, right? And so what happens is I know if you can put a tracking device in the heel of someone's shoe, you can put it in their pocket and you can put it in their purse. And so who knows what kind of, you know, you go into a bar one night and somebody throws a thing in your jacket and follows you home. Like, I don't know how they program it specifically for each particular tracking device, but you can buy one and then, you know, set it and then put it in someone's car. And so I'm always concerned about personal privacy issues that arise from even the most, I don't know what the word is, but the most helpful laws can sometimes be harmful to the collective if there's way too much, if we overlook the obvious. So I'm really against having cameras in the streets and that kind of things, because obviously they link into every other camera from the ATM to whatever, but we think of life as negative sometimes, and we say, what if something happens, opposed to saying, things happen, but should you technically be tracked if you didn't break the law? Should you be tracked if you were just casually walking down the street? Like, we have freedoms in this country, and tracking is kind of goes against freedom of movement. But in that case, I can understand an Alzheimer's case, but like I said, even in the most reasonable situation, sometimes things go terribly wrong.
And you know what? That's true. Wow. Because that, you know, when you mention that, that's something that I didn't think of immediately, because as they couch it as a tool to help patients with Alzheimer's, you do have to think, you know, and because I had that experience, immediately I was like, I can see that as a good idea. So I'm locked into just looking at it from the way that they happen to market it. But, of course, there are people who will misuse or, you know, find alternative uses for something that is meant to be a good thing. So I agree with you that could be very dangerous. And now people can, you know, it's bad enough that folks can Google map your house or do the geo map
right.
You know, all that stuff that you shared with us once before, that geo mapping and, oh, my goodness. That
track your cell phone, that kind of stuff. So that stuff gets scary, especially for youth, for kids, because you are thinking about this and now saying, oh, yeah, this was a good idea if you're responsible. But just like I remember when they moved all of the medicine behind the counter because they said they were making illegal drugs with it. I can't remember what it's called, but whatever it is, it's now behind the counter, and you have to show your license to get something if you need something for a headache because they're making drugs with it. And I'm thinking, see, you can make something for one thing, and it turns into something totally different. So I can't remember what it's called, but yeah. So in that case, and also we have a story where this came out last week, but I'm not sure how well it was reported on, but three men who were African American were jailed for almost 20 years over a rape and murder of a 14-year-old girl and was released after new DNA evidence came to light. Robert Taylor, who's 34, said it felt beautiful to be free after 20 years of being sent to prison on an attack of someone near Chicago that he didn't commit. The two brothers, Jonathan Barr, who's 34, and James Harden, who's 36, mind you, they've all been in jail 20 years, have been told that they will be released while prosecutors are confident that the two men will finally be exonerated. The defense team is confident that they will be exonerated, too, because of DNA evidence. So prosecutors reopened the case this year after the new DNA evidence linked a convicted rapist to the crime, and the 53-year-old convicted rapist is already behind bars, but it was for a jail offense, and they found that his DNA matched the case that put those three in jail for 20 years.
My gosh. I did not hear about that.
Yeah, it was, you know, to think of 20 years, like Robert Taylor was 14, and the two Bars brothers, Jonathan was 34, and James was 36, or he's 36 now. So one was 16, and two was 14. He was in jail for 20 years.
I don't even know what to say.
Okay. Well, like I said, it's like stories that I know, you know, we kind of skate past or we miss them, but we really kind of need to hear these stories because, you know, so often we talk about things that happen, like, I can't believe that this happened or this didn't. Nobody said anything about this, and this doesn't make national news because it doesn't fit a narrative for black people generally. So when the news doesn't fit a narrative, it doesn't do the story. So on another story, North Carolina officials tracked down less than three dozen of the thousands of residents forced to undergo sterilization from 1929 to 1974, and amongst them, this woman, Ellen Riddick, who was 13 years old when she got pregnant. She was raped by a neighbor and in 1967, and when she was never told that she was sterilized by the state board in Raleigh, and she didn't find out until she was 19 years old when she got married and set out to start a family. She realized that she was sterilized. Now, she had the child, so she has one child who's 31. Well, I think he's 31 now. But most of those programs were abolished after World War II, and state officials are now considering compensation for the survivors between $20,000 and $50,000 per living victim. Not the ones who passed, but just the living victims. So there was a state board, and apparently all of the states kind of was on board with sterilizing people at some point. And she was a black woman. And they figured since she was raped, they labeled her as being promiscuous and all this other stuff. That was a sad story, but like I said, they go missing. But when we start talking about victimization in this country of black people, and you know, when you start having that with the greater society, they say that's a long time ago, and you know, you guys got to move on. We can't move on because people are still living with the nightmares of some of the things that the states have done to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this story, I believe I heard about this, was this is where there were several women sterilized. Is that right?
Oh, no, there were thousands.
Thousands.
They
okay,
only tracked down about three dozen of them to notify that they were going to be compensated.
Right, right. I had heard about this, and it was, you know, pretty, I was distressed beyond belief when I heard about that. Unbelievable. But, you know, when we say, I can't say unbelievable because we've heard it repeatedly. We've heard it before.
Right.
It's frightening that it continues is the problem that I have, that we find out more and more and more that this has been the case, and it's been, kept from the public eye and kept from the people who actually suffered, to the extent that even now most of them have passed away, or many of them have passed away.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and it's almost like this question of, do we have recourse if somebody passes away? And the answer to that question should be yes. We're still talking about compensating, you know, survivors of the Holocaust, and these people are first generation still living. And they said, no, if they passed away, their descendants can't claim it.
Right.
And this was not too long ago. So, 1974 is when they stopped doing that?
And really, 1974 is not that long ago.
No, I know. I remember 1974 well. No, I'm just joking. All right, so really quickly on the upswing, because I know I gave you a little bit more depressing news.
Yeah, we got to end on an up note.
On an up note, the president this week in court, the president, Barack Obama, ordered all federal agencies to coordinate their efforts to small business for all the small businesses seeking to increase their exports just internationally through this web platform called Business USA. So if you have a small business and you want to do business exports to other countries or wherever, businessusa.gov, you can go there.
So does it count if I want to export myself on a trip to Africa? Does that count?
Well, you know what? People write off a lot of things for business expense, so I'm sure you can work it out. I'm sure that wouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah, well, thank you. So do you want to give your show information so everybody who's listening can find you on Thursday evening?
Oh, well, Esprinet News, Thursday at 11 o'clock Eastern on this network, or you can go to www.espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com, and I'll be back here next week. I'll be here in the chat room next week, so I may not be able to show, I'll be in the chat.
Well, love having you here, Jerome. So definitely come back, join us. You don't have to just be in the chat room. Come join me. Next week I'll have one eye open because it'll be the day after International
Men's
Day.
Oh, that's right.
So I might need you to host the show next week.
There you go. It'll be a Adam, Where Art Thou? Ask Kathleen segment with Jerome commentating all day.
Exactly. So it's going to be great. So are you coming down to International Men's Day? Do you know yet?
You know, I made the decision that I will not be able to make it next week. See, I thought I was going to have good news for you, and I said, okay, I know I'm going to have to tell you offline that I probably will not be able to make it, and but, you know, with no excuse, I won't be able to make it. I guess I can say it. So I just got word that someone passed away, so I need to check on some folks. So I can't commit to it.
My condolences. Our condolences to your friend, your family.
Yeah.
So we're always not happy to hear about that. And we will certainly miss you as well. But that's understandable. And we will hold your trophy for you.
Oh, am I getting an award?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I am mad now, really, that I'm going to miss it now.
Yeah, you are going to be inducted into the Academy of Kings with David Dinkins and David Levy and all the other great men of excellence in the community. So in the state of New York, we actually will have your trophy for you. So when you are ready.
Okay. Well, in the words of David Levy, I just want to say, I have a cookie in my mouth, and I just want to say, why? That's all I want to say. Like, in his words, we do. So I'm appreciative, but I have nothing to say. I'm glad I'm not going to be there. I'll be tongue-tied. Ah, but thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, just doing what you do. I know, just doing what you do. So, hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening. I hope we'll see you at the International Men's Day Great Men of Excellence Awards on Saturday night, November 19th at the Black Spectrum Theater. All the information is on the website at internationalmensdaynewyork.com. Definitely, you can find me on kathleenwilliams.com. Listen to the show. Thank you for being here. Have an incredible week. And Swag University also, Friday night, IS59, and the Boys and Girls Club, Thomas F. Murphy Clubhouse on Bedford Avenue. We will have a night for young men and women speaking to great men and leaders and women in the company, in the community. So, see you then. Have a great week. We love you. From Adam, Where Art Thou? This is Kathleen Williams, your host from Ask Kathleen, the after show. This is Kathleen Williams, your host, and I'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. When God